you're gonna get used to wearing them chains after a while, Luke. Don't you never stop listening to them clinking. Because they're gonna remind you of what I've been saying. For your own good.
Wish you'd stop being so good to me, Captain.
Don't you ever talk that way to me. Never! Never! What we've got here is failure to communicate. Some men you just can't reach. So you get what we had here last week, which is the way he wants it. Well, he gets it.
They're gonna put y'all back in chains.
I don't like it any more than you.
Donald Trump and the MAGA Republicans represent an extremism that threatens the very foundations of our republic.
You cannot be civil with a political party that wants to destroy what you stand for, what you care about.
So it's going to be up to us on January 6, 2025, to tell the rampaging Trump mobs that he's disqualified. And then we need bodyguards for everybody in civil war conditions.
This is just a warning to you Trumpers. Be careful. Walk lightly. We ain't playing with you. And for those of you who are soldiers, you know how to do it. Do it right. Beat them hurt. Make them pay.
Civil war against us? Should we be concerned about our safety? What is he doing with this divisive language?
I will go and take Trump out tonight.
If you had to be stuck in an elevator with either President Trump, Mike Pence, or Jeff Sessions, who would it be?
Does one of us have to come out alive?
But he's taking these shot, this antagonism, yep. This taunting to the intelligence community.
You take on the intelligence community, they have six ways from Sunday of getting back at you.
And if you see anybody from that cabinet in a restaurant, in a department store, at a gasoline station, you get out and you create a crowd. And you push back on them. And you tell them they're not welcome.
We gotta stay on the street. And we've got to get more active. We've got to get more confrontational. We've got to make sure that they know that we need this.
Please, get up in the face of some Congress people.
What does Trump expect? Oh, I believe he expects violence. I believe he expects confrontation. I believe he's working toward a civil war.
When you're in the arena, you got to be ready to take a punch. You got to be ready to throw a punch for the children. For the children.
Not only do we need to disinvest foreign police, but we need to completely dismantle the Minneapolis Police Department.
I believe that injustice is a threat to the safety of all people. Once someone doesn't have access to clean water, they have no choice but to riot, right?
If this country doesn't give us what we want, then we will burn down this system and replace it.
You know, there needs to be unrest in the streets for as long as there's unrest in our lives. And unfortunately, there's plenty to go around.
What we've got to do is fight in Congress, fight in the courts, fight in the streets.
Fight in the streets.
No one has ever been more dangerous to this country than Donald Trump, and he is a fascist to his core.
When was the last time an actor assassinated a president?
They're still going to have to go out and put a bullet in Donald Trump, and that's a fact.
He should have spent a bit more time at the range. It's a pity he missed.
Yes, I have thought an awful lot about blowing up the White House.
With all due respect, we're walking down a damn different path. We're fighting fire with fire. I'm going to punch these sons of bitches in the mouth.
Could you imagine, just imagine in your mind, if you told people they couldn't vote next November? I think there would be a genuine uprising in this country.
But Michelle Wood says that, you know, when they go low, we go high. No. When they go low, we kick them.
Now look here. Even to this very day, I still have my trusty old trench knife from the war.
Order now at thealexjonesstore.com.
Hello, friends. Welcome to my home. We have all kinds of supplements.
Sometimes we have BOGO Sups.
We're always coming out with new products, and this is one of my favorites. You can shop for all of our supplements and apparel right here on the phone app.
You're tuned in to The American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Good morning and welcome to The American Journal. We're excited you're all jumping on with us today. Happy Friday, everyone. My favorite day of the week. Actually, Saturdays are my favorite day of the week. I'm lying to you. Farmers markets, that's why. Which is kind of disappointing because here in Texas, you would think that they'd keep the farmers markets open all year round. When I lived in Florida, at least we did. But unfortunately, I just found out the hard way. The other day, I went to the farmers market and it was closed. Apparently, they only do seasonal here in Texas, which is quite strange. All right, we got a lot going on over here today. Excited that you're all jumping on with us. A great lineup of guests joining the show. Sonia Labasco is going to be joining me in a bit, in about 25 minutes. We got an exclusive story for you. Why is it exclusive? Well, because when I reach out for comments, suddenly it sounds like things might have changed over at TSA. TSA, you know, they've got a great new comms team over at DHS. Love them over there. Honestly, they are helpful. They respond so fast. They are great. But we're sifting through, as many of you guys know, because I've sued TSA, we are sifting through a lot of just baggage at TSA. By baggage, I mean people who are not doing what they should be doing. Sonia Labasco called me and she was looking for to, because she runs, obviously, in case you guys are unaware, the Air Marshals National Council. And so she represents a lot of the federal air marshals, thousands of them. And so she told me that they weren't receiving their raises. There was a 3.8% raise because of President Trump that all federal agents are supposed to receive. But because of someone at TSA, according to them, not doing paperwork, their agents weren't going to receive that. Potentially. There was an email out that was sent out to their Orlando air marshals saying, hey, listen, it's up in the air right now. Well, yesterday I reached out for comment and it looks like that's changed. We'll bring you that email in just a little bit. A little good news there to kick off the show with. Also some more good news. Mark Lucas, who we have on the show quite often, he's a veteran. He also runs Veteran Action. He'll be joining the show because he's got good news. You know, he's been pushing to help out vets and to create better services for vets. Well, big victory for him. A Senate Republican has actually jumped on board and is pushing forward legislation that he has drafted. And he is excited about that. So he's going to join us to discuss that. We also might have Wood Lyman on the show. Wood Lyman's had a very busy day, very busy week. He's over in Minnesota, Minneapolis specifically right now. And I mean, he's getting tear gas with the protesters because he's covering it and he's literally on the ground in the heat of things. So I asked Wood. He said he will try to jump on with us this morning. Might have him. We will have, though, which I'm so excited about. This is going to be a great discussion, mainly because he is back. Mr. Steve Baker over at the Blaze will be joining the show as well. And as many of you guys know, Steve had quite the severe medical issue just a few weeks back. But he did text me and say, Brianna, I'm ready. I'm ready. And so we're excited to have him back on the show today. I can't wait to talk to him. He's working on a new story in regards to the J6 pipe bomber. And we'll bring that to you today. We'll also be joined by my girl, Mel Kay, as well, because Mel's got a lot to sound off about, you know, the CIA operatives that are currently in, let me remind you, that are currently in right now, the Senate. Well, one of them has just put out a video, and I'm sure Mel's going to dunk on her. So we're going to play that for you in a bit. And we're also going to be talking about AI at the Pentagon. Obviously, this is something, the technocracy is something that Mel follows extensively. So we look forward to having her on to discuss just that. All right, so a lot underway. You know, I'm kind of getting tired of telling you about Minneapolis, but it's still happening. Minneapolis is still happening. Last night was another crazy night, of course, because we're not really doing anything. We're sending out strong warnings, but we're not really following up with much. Take a look. We just saw this. This recently just came up in regards to the vehicles, the government vehicles that are being vandalized. There are 11 government vehicles or rentals, because a lot of the time they do rent. I found out the hard way. They actually rent from Avis and Enterprise and all of the rental car companies. I actually almost got stranded in Brownsville because of it. They're like, sorry, ma'am, we don't have your car. It's currently being used. So what you see here right now are 11 government vehicles, which also, again, could be rentals, but they were vandalized. And it's just one of the many things that are going on right now across the state of Minnesota. There was also this video that I want to get to you as well. This was coming from Fox News. This is apparently a federal agent had to pull his firearm while they keep calling them agitators. I'd call them communist pigs who are out there and intentionally trying to create chaos because, well, that's what they do. They're violent left-wing terrorists. So the officers in the passenger side, he has to pull his firearm pointed at them as they're trying to maneuver and make their way through a crowd. As many of you guys know, these left-wing hacks, they like to go around vehicles and surround them and, you know, obviously taunt them. It's all a taunting thing. And they sit there and say, oh, well, you didn't have to hit us. No, well, I mean, again, low IQ activities. When you're sitting there and you're standing in front of a moving vehicle, if the vehicle's just going to stop, we're going to be intimidated by you. No, no. If you're dumb enough to stand in front of a 4,000-pound car, find out. Find out. That needs to be the theme here, folks. You see, I was watching a couple of these like corporate media outlets who are trying to be empathetic to protesters who have been injured from, obviously, unleashing on DHS agents. And, you know, one protester lost his eye. Sad story. Truly sad story. But how did you get to that point? Because when I'm watching the videos of when the federal agents are reacting, they're reacting because you guys are antagonizing them, because you guys are doing things to get them to react, right? It's not a peaceful protest. You're not gathering with signs and just saying things to them. That we could support because, I mean, I don't have to agree with you, but I could support it because it is your First Amendment, right? But you're a terrorist. You're a terrorist. And you think you're going to get away with it. This is the guy. Or maybe it's a girl. Who knows with these people? Tragic, though. Lost his eye. Really sad, really unfortunate, and is in his early 20s. So now the rest of your life, you're going to have to be dealing with this. But again, this only happens when you do stupid things. This isn't like January 6th, right, with Capitol Police are just shooting into crowds of peaceful protesters and trying to get them to react, of course. And we see the footage. We have people on the ground who are there with you, like with Lyman, who might be joining us later in the show. These things aren't just a sign of government aggression. And it's weird, right? Because I never wanted to find myself in a situation where I'm defending the government. But that's what these left-wing terrorists have me doing. They have me defending the government, which is really never a stance I want to take. But here we are. I don't know if you saw this one yesterday, but the ACLU doing exactly what you'd expect them to do in all of this. Race baiting, filing lawsuits, claiming that the Trump administration is just racist and that's all that's happening here. They want to be empathetic, of course, to the illegal invaders. They filed this lawsuit against DHS yesterday, against the Operation Metro Surge. Now, I read through it extensively. It's quite interesting because... I mean, it's just what you expected it to be. When I sift through it, if you're looking to see what their complaints are, they are alleging there are thousands of mass and heavily armed federal agents conducting massive warrantless stops. Again, you don't need a warrant to stop someone. You don't need a warrant, okay? We all know this. We all know this. They're also arresting... And they're saying targeting, of course, Somalians and Latinos without reasonable suspicion. They're claiming that this violates the Fifth Amendment, Equal Protection Clause. They're also saying it's unreasonable seizures and warrantless arrest without probable causes, obviously. They all say that violates the Fourth Amendment, excessive force in some encounters, which they're claiming includes tackling pepper spraying and breaking windows, according to the ACLU. They're also claiming that DHS has apprehended U.S. citizens and legal residents despite proof of status, which, okay, that could be a problem if they do have proof of status. Again, I mean, I drive around with my ID. I got my ID. Why? Because you need one. You need one. So it's really hard for me to wrap my mind around any of this being factually true. But again, they're going to have to prove this now in court since they file this lawsuit. So we'll see how that plays out. Now, listen, when we're sitting here and watching what's going on in Minneapolis, understand something. Democrats are looking for the deflection because they have been a part of a massive fraud scheme that has recently been exposed. It's been going on for many, many years, but it's the validation why so many Democrats, and their validation, why they go out there and they throw themselves on the sword regarding the Somalians in that state. Now, if you're sitting back and wondering what the heck's going on, 100,000 Somalians live in Minnesota. But for some reason, and by the way, there's only about 6 million residents. So why are they literally changing their flag? They are doing all these things to appease a very small demographic, considering it's only 100,000. Again, it's 100,000 too many, but it's 100,000. Well, they're using all this as a deflection. Now Tim Walz will go back and forth with his mixed messaging, and it's all intentional, of course. But in clip one, you're going to hear him try to say that Minnesota is a place for all. Take a listen.
Minnesotans believe in the rule of law, and Minnesotans believe in the dignity of all people. We're a place where there's room for everybody, no matter who you are or who you love or where you came from. A place where we feed our kids, we take care of our neighbors, and we look out for those in the shadows of life. We're an island of decency in a country being driven towards cruelty. We will remain an island of decency, of justice, of community, of peace. And tonight I come before you simply to ask, don't let anyone take that away from us. Thank you, protect each other, and may God bless the people of Minnesota.
Protect each other, that's what his message is. What he says, he's probably talking about going to war with governments, I would assume. You see, he's been one of the many pushing for all of this. In fact, we played it for you last week. Clip four, we'll play it for you again, but Tim Walz did declare war on the federal government. Take a listen.
Well, I said this yesterday. We've never been at war with our federal government. I think in this case that the National Guard is their main mission. They have a dual mission.
Yeah. So as you heard there, he was declaring war. Now all of a sudden things have changed, though. Things have changed for him. He actually wants to turn the temperature down. It's according to a statement that he had to post, which is probably like a legal thing at this point. It's probably a legal thing at this point. He wants everything to calm down now. Let's turn down the temperature. Actually, the direct quote is, let's turn the temperature down. Stop the campaign of retribution. This guy is a scumbag. He's an absolute scumbag. Why am I saying that? Well, obviously, he's the one who's been cranking all these protesters up, spewing lies. Again, he is a liar. You know, Renee Good, as much as they want to sit there and try to make this seem like this is the next George Floyd, they'll probably build monuments of this woman. The reality of it is yes, she was shot. She was shot four times, according to Minnesota Fire, who did put out a statement and put out a document regarding how many times she was shot. So she was shot four times. But why was she shot four times? Well, she wouldn't be shot four times if there wasn't a federal agent dealing with internal bleeding currently. Why? Well, because she decided to use her car as a weapon and to hit a federal agent. She decided. She was smirking, laughing, thought it was funny. It's not so funny now is it? Now that's how you were looking to turn down the temperature. Why? Well, because they probably know what's coming their way. These people have been antagonizing. They have been intentionally spewing violent rhetoric because they're hoping the crazies within their own movement, well, that they do something. Now, it's interesting when you look at the Democrats and what they've been spewing, because Jacob Frey, who obviously is the mayor in Minneapolis, actually, it's an upgrade considering who was potentially going to become the mayor. Yeah, remember that Somalian man who looked like literally looked like a Somalian pirate? Well, we were all thankful when he lost. But Jacob Frey, not really an upgrade. It's like you're literally judging on a scale with these guys. But interesting enough, he said something that was really wild yesterday. And I want you to not only pay attention to the clip, but also pay attention to the Minneapolis police chief's reaction to what he says. Because he is trying to say that Minneapolis PD needs to fight, fight, federal agents. It's so absurd. Take a listen to clip three.
And we're in a position right now where we have residents that are asking the very limited number of police officers that we have to fight ICE agents on the street, to stand by their neighbors.
Do you see that? Do you see the eyebrows? Did he just say that? You see, if you pay attention, the two of them have a lot of friction, you could tell. Unfortunately, the police chief has, I mean, he's just cucked, right? He goes out there, he apologizes all the time. Apologizes to the Somalian population in case I offended any of them. But obviously, that's a wild statement to make. You're assuming that Minneapolis PD probably overworked, underpaid. And you want them down to fight the federal government? Fight ICE? Little beta man over there won't do anything. He can't even probably ball up his fist. But he's sitting there and he's going to try to sit there and say that the Minneapolis PD need to go fight ICE. That's his message. That's his message. By the way, these are the people who were leading the BLM terrorist movement just a few years back. Oh, the police weren't your friends then, but now you want them to fight off ICE agents for you, huh? What a disgrace of a man. Disgrace of a man. Zero testosterone, walks like a woman. Coward, loser. Screamed at by protesters, and he just walks down with his head in shame. Be a man. Be a man. And to whimper over, oh my gosh, this is classic. I don't know how your political career wasn't over after this, when you're whimpering over a golden casket of a man who died of a fentanyl overdose, of a man who was once accused of putting a gun to a pregnant woman's stomach to rob her. And you're crying over him being dead. You see, you think that these people would just never make their way into politics again. But there's something amongst Democratic voters where they're very forgetful, very forgetful. And they have no shame, no shame. Now, again, I really want you to pay attention because I have a bad feeling that Minneapolis PD, that police chief, is probably in some trouble right now. Why? Well, because he keeps challenging the mayor. You see, the mayor is out there telling his officers that they want them to fight ICE. But when you listen to clip two, you're going to hear a totally different take on all of this. In fact, calling the protest illegal. Take a listen.
There's a crowd gathered in the area, and we have called for mutual aid from the Minnesota State Patrol and Hennepin County Sheriff. The crowd is engaging in unlawful acts. They have thrown fireworks at police officers, and at multiple times, gas has been deployed. Police are attempting to disperse this unlawful assembly at this time. I urge anyone that is at the scene to leave immediately.
Did you see Jacob Fry's face? I mean, he's literally grilling him. He's literally lasering holes into that man's head because he called it unlawful. Because it's an illegal gathering. Because yes, folks, you do need a permit. And yes, folks, no protest happens at night. Doesn't happen. But you see, look at him. He's going to kill him in his sleep if he can't kill him now. I mean, this is what's going on. This is what's going on right now in Minneapolis. I bet you the police chief's gone in a couple of days. There's no way he's going to survive this. That looked like a hostage video. That's what that looked like. That's what's going on in Minneapolis right now. Both of them obviously beefing these days, not really liking one another. But they have to paint a smile on their face and pretend like everything's A-OK in Minneapolis right now. And you know it's really bad because, I mean, this is why I hate public schools so much and I feel so bad for people to send their kids there. Because take a look at Minneapolis public schools. The district itself is giving employees whistle packs, according to Liz Collins, and handing these out. It's notes with whistles telling them how to blow a whistle to alert neighbors to ICE. I mean, it's insane, these photos. Simple tool for fast alert, loud, recognizable. Impossible to ignore. Our voices are stronger together. Code one, code two, on the street. I mean, like, look at these people. A whistle? Blow in a broken rhythm. Pre. I mean, come on. Come on. Hey, I'll give it to them, though. At least they're able to all stick together on these issues. Yeah, they might not be intelligent. Yeah, they might be trying to go after law enforcement, but at least they're all sticking together on it. Something Republicans just never seem to do. I don't know, folks. It's getting really bad, obviously, but we'll see how it all plays out. Oh, but also local law enforcement. This, we should play this one too, clip five, because Minneapolis, there's a man who apparently was speaking at one of their town halls, and he details specifically how the city is trying to block ICE agents, and surprise, surprise, they're doing so by dumping snow to block off the vehicles for coming down the road. This probably could be a safety issue. Take a listen.
We are on our own. So what are you going to do about it? I acknowledge the difficulty of a city standing up to the federal government, but that should only inspire our creativity. I would recommend that our snowplows should dump snow to block the roads to the Whipple building and any staging areas to prevent these thugs from launching violent raids on our city. Also, our traffic laws apply to everyone. Minneapolis officers should be ordered to keep our streets safe by ticketing anyone going 31 and a 30, using a cell phone while driving, or not wearing a seatbelt. Make it personally expensive for anyone who comes here to attack our community. Every moment ICE is delayed will mean the difference between our rights not being trampled on, families being together at the end of the day, and our neighbors not being murdered. If officers refuse to do this or look the other way, they should be reprimanded and fired for abandoning our city. Then volunteers should be vetted and deputized to enforce traffic laws and given a path to becoming sworn officers for stepping up in this crisis. The actions of ICE is what the Gestapo looks like in the 21st century. They are here in our city. What are you going to do about it? Thank you.
All right, so that was advice that he was looking to give the city council to how to prevent ICE from doing that. But listen, folks, this is what they're doing. This is what they're doing. They are trying to rile up their crowd. They are trying to get violent, more violent than what they already are. And folks, it's just not surprising to me anymore. Minneapolis is an absolute cesspool. It's sad. It's sad. If you've lived there your whole life, I'm sure you guys are really upset right now as you've seen your city transform into a communist hellhole. All right, folks, in the meantime, I want to remind you all to head on over to thealexjonesstore.com right this second. Because in case you're wondering, we have a few more hours left. I don't even know how much longer this is going to last. But we've given away that free hat. Every time you make a purchase over at thealexjonesstore.com, no minimum required. You're going to receive this free hat while supplies last, of course. So head on over to thealexjonesstore.com. And also, today's the last day to enter to win that F-250 Ford Raptor, as well as the black F-250 Ford, and $20,000 in cash. Why not? Head on over right now to thealexjonesstore.com and make sure you enter into that. Who couldn't use $20,000? I bet you could. I could. Head on over to alexjonesstore.com. All right, folks, we're going to be waiting. Oh, Sonny Labasso will be joining us in a little bit. Again, this is going to be an exclusive you won't see anywhere else because TSA just responded to me earlier this morning in regards to a story that we were working on, and it's good news for federal air marshals. Good news. And again, I don't think there's really any... I've never seen a situation where federal air marshals have overreached and done anything to abuse their power. So this is a good one. This is a good one. They were apparently not receiving, and it was believed to have been a retaliation move. They weren't going to receive that 3.8% raise. It was on hold. That's what the air marshals were left thinking, that, oh gosh, we might not receive that 3.8% because it was sent out in an email from a higher up. But it looks like, according to TSA, that is no longer. Sonny Labasco will be joining me to discuss all of that and a lot more. Many of you guys know we also have Mark Lucas joining the show from Veteran Action. He's the founder of Veteran Action. And he's got good news for us on the front of helping our vets. We'll also have Steve Baker on the show and Mel Kane a little bit. So buckle up, more to discuss in a moment.
Ladies and gentlemen, Nitric Boost, the all-time fan favorite, is now back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com.
You've looked at our formula. You like it?
I did, and I do. Yes. Well, nitric oxide is a key. It's made by our own bodies again. It's made by L-citrulline and L-arginine, the amino acids.
And now, a major shipment has finally come back in for those of you that want to be able to stock up on it at InfoWarsStore.com. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Judy Mikovits, without me even knowing she'd gotten it and used it, came on years ago and said, this was the best spike protein detoxer she'd found.
Just like you want your own body to make vitamin D from the sunlight, you can't force it back in people who can't make it. It can actually hurt them. It's called peroxynitrites. So you want to boost your own body's ability. The nitric oxide relaxes the endothelium, the vasculature. It relaxes the vein. So I use the two, your InfoWars. I keep that on my shelf, and I feed myself the Cardio Miracle, which is just for straight food. It's a different formulation than that one. And the two together are a 1-2 punch. So you get in your food the ability to make what you need and no more.
Because of the organic-based compounds that are in it that cause vasodilation in the blood vessels, in the arteries, in the veins, in the capillaries. And it just does so many other great things.
So constricted blood vessels too, because athletes are running, they're constricted, they're working so that the blood flows and it doesn't flow, which is why your nitric oxide product, that new product, I hope you'll show it, because that's a very important thing to have for acute events. Dissolve under the tongue, give you an instant relaxing of your endothelium, your vasculature.
Now listen, it is already a nationwide best-selling bodybuilding product for over 20 years. Bodybuilders take this, it helps grow muscles and better workouts and things. I was just researching and wanting to put something out that was good for the heart and talked to a lot of scientists and researchers I knew, and they said, well, these are the type of ingredients we were thinking about putting out a product. When I talked to formulators, they said, well, we actually already have a product that has that, so we private labeled it as Nitric Boost. And just for men in the morning when you wake up, that's the big thing people feel and see right away. So imagine what else it's doing for your body. So for those of you that love Nitric Boost, it's back in stock right now at InfoWarsStore.com. And for those that haven't tried Nitric Boost, you are really missing out. Secure your Nitric Boost right now at InfoWarsStore.com. We're battling in the courts. We're still here a year after the Onion said they bought us. We might actually hold on and win. But regardless, the shopping cart's there. The shipments are going out, and you will get your product. But if you don't order it, support us, we'll be off the air. So it's a paradox. So please take action now at InfoWarsStore.com and experience Nitric Boost for yourself. And listen, men feel it in that one way. Women love it as well. It's good for men and women. Get your Nitric Boost now, right now, exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com. And thanks for being the reason, one way or another, we'll always be on the air. InfoWarsStore.com, Nitric Boost, back in stock.
Welcome to the Great Reset. Eat the bugs. You will own nothing and you will be happy. Take the vaccine. Trust the science. Get your booster. Every crisis is an opportunity and the world will be reshaped in our vision. Down with the globalist. Get ultra methylene red at thealexjonesstore.com.
You're tuned in to The American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello.
Welcome back to American Journal. We're excited you're all jumping on with us today. All right, it's very rare we get to do a little victory lap, so let's do one. Why not? You know, as many of you guys know, we have her on the show quite often. Sonia Labosco is a good friend of mine. She is a patriot. She is fighting for our federal employees who are doing their very best to try to make us a safer, more secure country while also calling out the corruption-related issues. And Sonia recently contacted me about a story and what her federal air marshals were facing. They were facing the possibility of not receiving a 3.8% raise. Now, obviously, this was deeply concerning for Sonia, given the fact that she's the executive director of the Air Marshal National Council. And the fact that her members possibly weren't going to be receiving that raise. Now, it was believed that that raise was being withheld due to the fact that the TSA administrator failed to file paperwork that was necessary to gain that 3.8% raise. Well, good news. I reached out to TSA for comment on it, and they responded to me this morning with some very positive news, and I'm very excited to bring this one up. TSA responded to this report by saying that federal air marshals will receive the 3.8% special pay raise, just like other dedicated law enforcement professionals across the federal government, and that's effective January 11th, 2026. So that's good news for our federal air marshals and those fighting for them. But what was really happening behind the scenes in all of this? Well, joining me now to discuss is Sonia Lobosco to break down this story that you guys are only going to see here on InfoWars, of course. And Sonia, it's always an honor to have you on. Obviously, you are a patriot, but you are also the executive director of the Air Marshal National Council, as well as a retired supervisor for federal air marshals. And so you know all these things related to this. And when you called me and we spoke about this, I was obviously upset because I know your air marshals are doing their very best out there every day. And so it didn't make any sense to me why they would be missing out potentially on this raise that was given to them by President Trump. But there was a lot that was going on behind the scenes. So break this down for us.
Well, Brianna, when our members reached out to me, because we have members in all 20 field offices throughout the United States and every air marshal office, headquarters, and in training, when they reached out to me, I said, there's no way that you're not going to get this raise. So as we started digging a little bit deeper, we found out they were not going to get the raise. OPM had released the memorandum showing the federal agencies that were going to receive this 3.8% raise. It was a 1% across the board for federal employees, and then an additional 2.8% for law enforcement. And the Federal Air Marshal Service was left off of that memorandum for those receiving it. So, you know, the minute I got wind of this, we started rallying. We reached out to congressional oversights. Of course, we reached out to you, our media exposure. You seem to be able to get them off their duff when they're not doing the right thing. And we really appreciate that. We reached out to the National Association of Police Organizations, the White House, you name it. We were screaming to the top of our lungs that you are not going to sideline and disrespect our federal air marshals who have been out there doing this job. They're on Secret Service details. They're doing ERO. That's, you know, the removal work with ICE. They're in every component of DHS doing the work, but getting none of the credit. So, yeah, we came out swinging. And thanks to you, Brianna, I think it's because you got involved is the reason that this changed.
Sonia, it's so crazy to me. And this is the really good thing about when I bring something to the DHS communications team to their attention, they do an incredible job at responding. And so it's been a great resource for me just reaching out to their team and just saying, hey, listen, I'm seeing this. Do you guys have anything to say? And they do respond. I mean, it's one of the very few agencies that do respond. They're respectful enough to respond and give you proper comments. So I think a lot of the times when we put this on their radar, that they make it happen behind the scenes because they don't want this to go into effect. I mean, they wouldn't want to see that. And I know that they are patriots over there as well. So that's the one really good thing about DHS right now. There's a lot of good things. But that's the one main thing that I really do appreciate about them. And, you know, it's so fascinating to me because it sounds like, and I asked them too, I said, is this something that just recently went into effect? Because I wanted to see if it was because we reached out to them. And you know, one person did say, yes, I think so. But I don't want to take full credit just in case that wasn't the case. But I mean, the statement itself is just clear. They do say directly that now you guys are all going to be receiving, the air marshal is now going to be receiving that 3.8% special pay raise. So that's really good news. When it comes to why this was held up, though, it's from my understanding that it's supposed to be signed, or there's supposed to be some form submitted over by the TSA administrator. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct, Brianna. What I think we believe what is happening behind the scenes, there's a lot of retaliation going on against the federal air marshals, because remember, we blew the whistle on the Quiet Skies program, which is now defunct. Secretary Noem ended that program last year after it was exposed that TSA targeted innocent Americans for their First Amendment protected speech. So because the air marshals were the main whistleblowers that came forward on that, the retaliation within TSA against the air marshals has been fierce. So I think it's very telling that when you go around TSA and you go to DHS, you can get things done. But when you're internally staying within the ranks at TSA, the federal air marshals are being stomped on. So I hope the Secretary Noem will see this broadcast and understand there's five layers of rot within the TSA, the Biden holdovers, that have got to be dealt with. If we do not remove these five layers of absolute total resisting the administration, resisting what the administration wants to do, this is going to continue to happen every day. And workforce morale is being definitely lowered because we thought things would be different with President Trump, you know, in office now. And unfortunately, at TSA, things are the same.
Yeah, there needs to be some serious reforms there. And I know you guys are calling it out, specifically what changes need to be made. And we do hope that they do take your insights and run with it, because, again, there are some serious changes that need to be made. But, Sonia, you and I work on a lot of really important stories often, and it's an honor to do just that with you. And there was a really, really important story regarding Christine Crowder, who is someone who you've been advocating for many, many years, because her husband is a federal air marshal. And our audience is well familiar with the story because we had her here in studio just a few days ago, where she detailed how she was added to this terror watch list. And she found out after her husband found out, because he works for the air marshals. Well, you know, after we released all the documents related to the investigation into her, they accused her of being at the Capitol on January 6th, even though she wasn't there. That investigation should have concluded pretty quickly, because the photo that was being used to validate the investigation was not her. And in fact, she does deal with an injury, and this was the most telling part in all of this, where she's unable to lift her left arm. And she does have some issues when it comes to walking. She can't walk up steps. And so she wouldn't even put herself in that position to be at the Capitol that day, because she knew it was a large gathering. And instead of going to her home and quickly talking to her to kind of end the investigation into her, which, again, would have happened very quickly, they didn't do that. They didn't confront her directly. Instead, they used that image to validate about 2 years of surveillance. She was surveilled at her home for, I think there was 4 times the FBI went outside of her home to look at her home, even though, again, her husband's a federal air marshal. And they did call her a domestic terrorist, even though, again, her husband is a federal air marshal. Now, behind the scenes, you guys were trying to clear her name because you knew this wasn't her. And unfortunately, they didn't really respond too quickly until they miraculously saw an interview with you and Kyle Serafin's show. And then went and knocked on her door and spoke with her personally, and then realized, all right, she wasn't there that day. But things have gotten pretty bad. They've gotten pretty bad. I want to first play clip 10 just for our audience. If you missed out on the interview, it was an exclusive sit-down interview we did on January 6th with Crowder. Take a listen. I was going through your documents. There's the image of the woman that they're accusing you of being, and she's lifting up her left hand,
right,
her arm completely, and she's waving to someone. I spoke with you yesterday about this, haven't been able to do that since you were 26 after an injury.
Yes, I had a stroke at 26 years old, and I never regained the use of my left arm. So my friend knew that because she's been on vacation with me. We were close for a long time.
Yeah.
So why they would think someone, all they had to do was look at me or research something about me and find out that I was disabled. So there was obviously no way I was climbing the Capitol steps, number one. Mm-hmm. Or number two, I could use my left arm.
Yeah.
And they also left out that my husband was, you know, an air marshal himself.
Yeah. And I'm sure that was just a coincidence, though. That
right. Yeah. Right. Just weird coincidence that they forgot that.
Well, I mean, as we go through all of this, we look through all the information, I'm glad you have this now. I'm glad you've been able to obtain all this information. This is really important for you to have. And I do hope that you guys are able to get counsel here, because what they did to you is unacceptable, and there needs to be accountability. The people who are part of all of this, they also need to be arrested.
Right.
I don't think they're going to be arrested, at least fired.
I don't blame the air marshals that had to follow me. They were just following orders.
It
was the people at the top.
Yes, those are the ones.
Those are the people at the top who allowed this and told my husband, you know, walk away.
Yeah. So obviously, this shouldn't have happened in the first place, Sonia. And, you know, thankfully, the FBI director has now come out and he's put out a statement saying that this shouldn't have happened to her. We also received a comment from DHS Secretary Kristi Noem as well. But here's the concerning part that I have with all of this, Sonia, and I want to get your take on this, because while the FBI director is very aware that this is wrong and this shouldn't have happened to her, I'm told that the FBI agents that were involved in all of this are still at the department. But it gets even worse, because there's an individual who was just recently named as the deputy director, Christopher Raj, or Ra, I should say. He is now the deputy director of the FBI, replacing Dan Bongino. And it's interesting, because prior to all of this, he did actually spend some time over at the Houston field office. He was a supervisor for the special agents over there. So technically, this would be something under his supervision. So while the director is admitting that what happened to Crowder is wrong, we're not hearing of any firings on the FBI level. We're also not hearing about any firings or any repercussions, because one of these supervisors at that field office has since been promoted to the second highest cop in law enforcement right now. What do you make of all of this? Because it seems like we're being gaslit to say, yeah, things are happening behind the scenes, but if you pay attention, they're actually not really happening behind the scenes.
You know, Brianna, this case should outrage every American because it is absolutely clear the FBI absolutely 100% lied on Ms. Crowder. They lied and built a case on absolute lies. They said they reviewed videotapes inside the Capitol and wrote on actual investigatory documents they identified her. They actually took her to a DOJ prosecutor. She was in the queue to be prosecuted after never even being there, and they never even interviewed her. So if you see that DOJ Kenneth Cutler, he was going to prosecute her without a zero shred of evidence based on what the FBI had put into the investigative file. And absolutely, the number two guy that just got promoted was in charge of this very specific unit during the time that this happened to the Crowders out of the Houston field office. So if you think that the rot is not as deep at the FBI as it is at the TSA, everybody needs to take a step back and think about what's happening. We have not seen the accountability that we were promised. And after reviewing this case and seeing this promotion that recently happened, there has been zero accountability within the FBI regarding the agents that lied on these documents. And there's been no accountability at the DOJ either for the prosecutor who was going to arrest and probably raid. If it hadn't been for the Kyle Serafin show, I do believe the FBI was going to raid Christine's house and arrest her. She would have been in the D.C. gulag with no way to bond out, being completely innocent. If you go back to that time period in 2023, when her case came forward, it would have been a nightmare for her and her air marshal husband, who, by the way, has been in the government 29 years and never been disciplined, has had a top secret security clearance the whole time. So this is a travesty. This is an American travesty, and nobody's been held accountable for it.
Yeah, and that's a big problem here. And I reached out to the FBI for comments. I did give them a deadline of 5 p.m. Eastern time today so they could respond to this, because obviously we're all very concerned. But constantly I reach out to the FBI and I do not get a response when I do, or they'll say something stupid like this is a personnel matter and they can't tell me. But I did specifically ask how many agents, and I don't need names, I just need numbers, have been fired or suspended for what they did in the Crowder case, because clearly the FBI director knows it was wrong. So whether he actually intends on acting, I mean, that's something that needs to be done. And I'm so tired of seeing these toxic people over at the agency make their way to the top. You know, it's disappointing. But the FBI director, the reason why a lot of us backed him was because he sat up there and he said that we're going to start purging all of the filth from the FBI. We're going to get rid of all of these corrupt individuals. And when Tom Fitton goes through the numbers and finds out just a little bit over 100 people who have been fired from the agency, when thousands of them were involved in cases quite similar, I mean, this is something that's very, very alarming and very unnerving for a lot of us. I know a lot of people at home right now are upset about this. And then we have people online gaslighting us, tell us that there are things happening behind the scenes that they can't tell us about. But don't worry, it's happening. And we're just supposed to trust them. And, you know, I don't need to hear names. I just want to see numbers. And so we're going to keep pushing for that. But it's not just that, too. It's also over the DOJ. And it's interesting, right? Because you just cited an email. Let's get that email up, because this email, Sonia, has me fired up. I am actually really enraged by Senator Rand Paul's office for redacting the name of the individual that sent out this email. Now, thankfully, we got our hands, and I got my hands on the unredacted email regarding who sent this one. And it's crazy because the DOJ didn't even redact his name. Keep that in mind. But Rand Paul's office decided to protect this man. His name is Kenneth Corder. And the part that has me fired up about this is Kenneth is the one, like you described, telling the other prosecutors to move Christine Crowder's case into the future prosecution date folder, pretty much. And they're going to go prosecute her at a later date. They're also telling, and this is also insane, I recommend that you conduct a social media, like he's telling them to analyze her social media, which later results in actually her Facebook page being subpoenaed. So Facebook was subpoenaed. So this guy is not only going after her for free speech and trying to get a hold of her social media records, but he's also going to, like you said, or have her arrested. Now, Kenneth Corder, when I posted this email, he's the senior at the time, senior counsel for Capitol Siege Section. Keep in mind, folks, he hasn't been fired. In fact, he's still at the DOJ. In fact, when we ran this email, my phone was blowing up, phones, I should say, because people are really angry at the fact that this man is still working for the agency, that this guy was the one who was leading all the prosecutions. This guy was the one who was smarter than, one person described him as smarter than Matthew Graves when Matthew Graves was running the U.S. Attorney's Office in D.C. And he was the one who was going out there and orchestrating all of the evil we saw with the J6 persecutions, the terrorism enhancements, the sedition, all of it was because of this guy, is what I'm told. And I'm told not to let up on him. Sonia, I asked the chairman, Chairman Barry Loudermilk, when we had him on the show yesterday, about Kenneth and why he's still over at the DOJ and should the DOJ fire him. Take a listen to clip 9 and his response to that question. But he's still at the DOJ right now. Are you concerned that Kenneth Corder, who is still employed by the DOJ, shouldn't be there in the first place?
It's just not there. I think that there are people within the federal government in a broad spectrum that we have to identify who these bad players are, and we need to get them out of there. We've got a situation right now, Brianna, that I've never seen in this country before. I mean, my father's a World War II veteran, a combat veteran. He was a medic. I grew up in a very patriotic family, a strong Christian household, brought up on strong morals. And one of those is that our government is the greatest government in the history of the world. It's a nation to be proud of. And we've gotten to a place because of things like this that Americans are not proud of their government anymore as much as they're scared of it. And we need to shift that back to give the American people something to be proud of in their country, not scared of their government. And, you know, Thomas Jefferson said that when the people fear their government, there's tyranny. But when the government fears the people, there's liberty. And we have to have more accountability. And that's why committees like the one I'm leading now and the one I led in the last Congress are so important. And Congress has to restructure the way that we do oversight and investigation. And that's one thing that I've been very proud of is I've had some of the media say that we've rewritten the book on how to do oversight and investigation. It's not just having a hearing here and there and then write a report and move on. It's sticking with it and getting to the truth, exposing the truth, and then working with the administration to hold people accountable. And that's what we're going to do.
Yeah, well, we look forward to that because it's really frustrating to hear these key people are still in positions of power. Yeah, let me jump in on that. Because, like, Sonia, I know Barry Loudermilk has a very tough job right now. The chairman, obviously, running the J6 subcommittee, has to go back and try to find the things that were deleted by the original J6 committee. So he's got his work cut out for him there. But it's really annoying to sit back and to watch as the DOJ keeps these individuals employed and isn't going after them. I know there was an active push to keep him on, actually, Kenneth Corder. So what do you make of all of this? Again, we just talked about the FBI, but it's still happening over at the DOJ as well.
Well, I think it's very interesting with Representative Loudermilk when he talks about we have to identify these people, right? Well, we have identified these people. Mm-hmm. These people are identified now. The story that we're talking about with Christine Crowder, every individual that had wrongdoing from the Federal Air Marshal Service to TSA to the FBI has been identified, right? There is no secret on who did what to Ms. Crowder and her husband. All of those individuals are still employed. Matter of fact, they've been promoted. Matter of fact, they're getting $40,000 special bonuses this year. TSA Administrator Brian Belcher, who targeted Tulsi Gabbard and targeted Christine Crowder, who is an SES, is going to receive a $40,000 performance bonus. I don't think that that in any way shows accountability after these individuals have been identified for violating, number one, their oath to the Constitution and to the country, and number two, targeting individuals for First Amendment free speech rights.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I don't. And, you know, I keep reaching out to the DOJ. I know they don't like my coverage, but they don't respond. This is why I praise DHS, because at least they respond, even if the story maybe not flattering for them. They still do have the cojones to respond. But sadly, the DOJ is not the same. I mean, this is a very bad man, and he's still holding his position. The fact that we have people like Todd Blanche who advocate for him, to me, is very, very concerning. Sonia, when you look at the current situation that we're in right now, I know a lot of Americans at home are frustrated. I know a lot of your federal agents are as well. They're frustrated with a lot of the corruption still not being purged from a lot of these bureaus, these agencies. What glimpses of hope can we give the American people? Because the reality of it is from the outside looking in, there's not much when it comes to being positive and optimistic about the future. But what are you looking forward to?
Well, I'm looking forward to keep exposing and highlighting what's wrong. I mean, we're going to continue to expose with the Federal Air Marshal Service. We're going to continue to expose the fraud, waste, abuse, and corruption. We're going to name the people that are doing it. We're going to keep filing complaints with the DOJ, the DHSOIG, civil complaints. We're going to keep doing what we do until this administration recognizes we know who the bad players and the bad actors are. All they have to do is put the experienced people in spots just as an advisor to get these people removed and get them out. So our hope is going to be that we will stay as vigorous as we have been for the last 5 years during 2026, and that we're finally going to see some actionables that we can be proud of, because these individuals are not going to be sitting in the government office collecting a government check and violating the rights of the American people.
Yeah. Yeah. Sonia, I'm with you on that one. And I look forward to keeping up this fight. And I'm excited that we have some positive news for your federal air marshals, of course. That is something I know they're all looking forward to. Sonia Lobosco, you're doing incredible work, my friend, over at the Air Marshal National Council. So thank you so much.
Thank you. And God bless America. It was a good day today.
It was a very good day. Thank you, my friend. I appreciate it. Folks, she's doing incredible work. And, one of the very few I could say is on our side, and it is always an honor to talk to Miss Sonia Lobosco there, of course. We've got a great lineup of guests joining me in just a little bit, so buckle up, folks. More to discuss, a whole other 2 hours, jam-packed program for you. Mark Lucas, more positive news from him. The founder of Veteran Action has been pushing, and you know we talk about it on the show, he's been pushing for legislation to improve the lives of veterans. Well, good news for him, a group of Republicans have picked up his legislation and now they are pushing it through. We'll talk to him about that. We'll also talk to him about Iran as well to get his take as to the recent news that Iran is apparently halting their executions after speaking with President Trump. That's apparently their commitment. I'll have him weigh in on that. Plus, we'll have Wood Lyman, who's down right now in Minneapolis. The poor guy was getting tear gassed yesterday with all the left-wing terrorists on the ground. But he's a real trooper, and he'll be joining us to discuss what's unraveling on the streets of Minneapolis. We'll also be joined by Steve Baker in just a few moments as well. Steve will be joining us actually in the third hour of the program. And I'm so excited to have Steve on. Why? Well, Steve wasn't doing too well a couple of weeks ago. He was having a heart issue. I know I posted that up. We all prayed for him. We were pulling for him. And, well, there's good news. There's good news. Steve Baker is back. That was a text I got from Steve yesterday. I'm back and ready to talk. So we got our man, our fighter. He is in this, and he will be bringing them the latest regarding the J6 pipe bomber suspect. It'll be an honor to have him on the program. And Mel Kay's jumping on, too, as well. We love some Mel Kay, of course. She is digging into the truth on so many issues, going after the CIA operatives. And that's what we're going to do with her in that segment as well. In the meantime, though, head on over right now, thealexjonesstore.com, because we're giving away a free hat with every purchase over at the shop. Again, just a couple more hours left in that sale. You receive a free hat with every purchase, no minimum required, over at thealexjonesstore.com. Best part two, today's the last day in that giveaway to get 50 entries for every dollar you spend. You could win a F-250, it's a Ford Raptor, and possibly a black Ford F-250 plus $20,000 in cash. Head on over right now, thealexjonesstore.com, while supplies last.
So I'm not giving up. I'm not going away. If they shut us down, I got the Alex Jones Network. I don't know, and I'm going over there. You finance it. You paid for it. Your support. I'm just telling you, here's the weird paradox. I thought we'd be shut down last year. I thought we'd be shut down 2 months ago. The receiver won't let us order new product over at InfoWarsStore.com. So we're in this paradox now where we're winning, and now they're like, well, you'll actually be open in the middle of next year now and all this stuff, and there's no money because people believe it was going to shut down. Plus, there's no product. But I convinced the receiver. I said, can we at least make fundraising posters, which are very low cost, have a high markup, people know it's an investment, to keep us on the air? Can I do that? I said, yeah, you can do that. I can just tell you, we need your support right now at InfoWarsStore.com. Three posters I designed, two I designed, Rob designed the other one. Defend the West, famous Crusader King. Make no peace with evil, say Crusader King, and then do like that still image of me. And it is the bestseller. It's I've only begun to fight John Paul Jones, and it's InfoWars 1997 to 2026. And yeah, you can buy Unsigned for $25, big posters, glossy in a tube, or you get them for $100. They're like, God, that's a huge markup. Yeah, it's a fundraiser. Like when commies give NPR $200 for a ball cap, costs $15. That's the whole point. We're actually winning right now. I don't want to count chickens for their hats. It's not the Democrats. It's not the DOJ holdovers. They're going to shut us down. If you don't go get these posters and you don't support us, and I'm not bitching at you, I'm just telling you, I'm not saying you got to do it, then you will be the ones that shut us down. This is a marathon, so please support us, InfoWarsStore.com. I need the money right now. It's like in Star Trek, Wrath of Khan. He goes, I need warp speed in 3 minutes, we're all dead.
Scotty, I need warp speed in 3 minutes, or we're all dead.
And you guys have got us out of this over and over and over again. And me, I'm not giving up. We need to keep pushing because we've got their ass.